during the age of innocence, there was no sin. But when they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there's a lot of changes took place. There's even some that believe that when they did that, that's when they received their bloodstream. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I lean that direction also. And so there's a lot of things that took place. And they, from that day, begin to die. And God told them, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And the dying process began at that point. There would be an appointment. There'd be an appointment with death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So that time clock started the moment they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then they began to realize some things about themselves. There were some things that changed about their bodies, and things that began to run through their mind that never had before. They realized they were naked. They begin to hide from God, and we see human nature now begin to form ideas that are against God. Hiding from God is never good, and they begin to hide from God, and they realize they were naked. So God expelled them from the garden, and so when they partook of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so the very first dispensation was innocency, and if you've missed some of these, you can go back and get them from others. I'm not going to recap all of them. But they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And once that took place, they received a conscience that God gave them that would now tell them what is right and what is wrong. And every person, just about, I know there's some that never get out of the age of innocence. There's people that their mentality, they might be born with some kind of medically that they just never get out of that age of innocence. And I believe that those people are going to, when they die, they're going to heaven. They're in the age of innocence. And just like babies, if they die before they reach that point, they're in heaven. They're innocent. And so, but there comes a time in most people's life where they begin to understand right and wrong. They begin to feel something when they do wrong. They begin to realize they're naked. And so that happened to Adam and Eve. And so they received a conscience. Well, now they have this conscience to guide them. And then God laid down some rules, and he gave them some things that we began to look at last week of this dispensation of conscience. It started with man's life outside the garden. God gave them the instructions for what would happen, and he made a covenant with mankind that's still in effect today. And we're going to look at some of that in a second. But it begins with man's life outside the garden. It ends with the announcement of Noah's flood. And we did all this last week, but I'm running through this part before we start on the next one. And then the dispensation covenant was the Adamic covenant. And that's a covenant that was unconditional, based on God's instructions to Adam outside of the garden. Women will have multiplied sorrow. We looked at all these things. This is the covenant he made with man that would last. It's still going on today. Women will bear children in sorrow. Women will be in subjection to their husbands. And later on we find out it's to their own husband. Amen? Not somebody else's. All right, ground will be cursed. Did some work yesterday, and you're soaking wet, and there's dirt, and, you know, I wasn't working in the dirt, but yet there's dirt when I wipe. What is that? That's because of the curse that man would work from the sweat of their face. All right? The wages of sin was introduced to Adam. And we find out that the serpent ends up getting cursed. The seed of woman would bruise Satan's head. The plan of salvation was faith plus works. They now have their conscience. So during this time, until God told them something different, from the time they left the garden until God told them something different, they were being judged. They were being reviewed based off of how they responded to the conscience God gave them. That's what it was. They didn't have any other knowledge up until God told them something different to do. So during that time, they had a conscience that God gave them. They had the example of the garden. When somebody sinned, they made a sacrifice. God showed them how to do that. And so they had that example, and they had their conscience to tell them what was right and wrong. All right, so if anybody died during that time, that's what they were judged off of, whether or not they were saved or not. Did you obey the conscience that God gave them. Well, the Bible says that they ended up doing every wicked thing imaginable. Whatever their heart imagined, that's what they ended up doing. Evil imaginations and thoughts. And so mankind as a whole, and we understand that there was one family that stood out. We talk about how bad things are getting, and they're very, very bad. But I believe that we have more than eight people, even in our church, that I believe are trying to do right and live right. Right? In that day, all that God found was the eight souls. And so that's pretty bad. And there was a lot of people on the earth during that time. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't 12 people and eight of them were good. And so man's disobedience was evil imaginations and thoughts. God's judgment was to destroy man and the earth. We find him coming to Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so he had him build this ark. So now the next dispensation. So as we're looking at the Bible dispensationally, looking how God deals with man. And one of the reasons that it's good for us to understand how God did this and look at the Bible this way is because when you read certain passages in your Bible, you may read it and say, well, I'm not doing that. I must not be saved. But you have to understand the Bible's written to three different groups of people, the Jew, the Gentile, those are lost, the church. And there's just different things that God dealt differently with man. And there's a lot of people get really confused because they want to go back in Genesis and say, well, man, they were saved by grace through faith. Well, where is that in there? Right? God told them, he gave them a conscience, and now we have Noah getting off the ark, and as he's getting off the ark, God's going to give him some additional instructions. So now they're going to have their conscience, and they have something else by which they're going to be governed. All right, the dispensation of human government is the one that we're going to talk about this morning for a few minutes. The dispensation of human government. So we've already had innocence, we've already had the conscience, and now, in addition to conscience, in addition to the example in the garden, what God did when he sacrificed for him, now we have human government. God's going to tell them that they're to govern one another. Man, by himself, had an evil imagination, evil thoughts, so now he's going to tell them to govern them each other. This dispensation covers Genesis chapter 6. Verse 13 through Genesis chapter 11. And we're going to be turning over to Genesis chapter 8. And we're going to read a few verses there as we look at the covenant that is associated with this one. So Genesis chapter 6, 13 through Genesis 11, 32. That's the time span, or the scriptures that cover this dispensation. Again, some of these chapters span several years and a lot of people. This dispensation begins with Noah's exit from the ark. Begins with Noah's exit from the ark, and it ends with the Tower of Babel, or Babel, or however you want to pronounce it. That's where it ends, and we're going to find out what happened at the Tower of Babel and why it ends there and why something else changes and takes place going forward. And what we see through these first several dispensations is they kind of build on one another, because during this dispensation of human government, the people still had a conscience. And God was still judging them based off their conscience. They still had the example of the garden. Some of those things never went away. But now God's telling them to govern one another. So the reason why this is a separate dispensation is something changed. God's instructions to man changed. All right, and so this dispensation covenant is the Noahic covenant. The Noahic covenant. And it was God's instructions to Noah's family and Noah himself after the flood. Okay, this covenant was unconditional and based on God's instructions to Noah and his family. So this is another one. The previous covenant with Adam was also unconditional. The things that God told them would take place are still going on today. This is another one that is unconditional. It's a promise, an agreement that he made with Noah. All right, so let's look at a few of these. It's unconditional. Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 20. Let's look at these verses together. These are similar to the Adamic covenant in the fact that we're still that we still see the results of these things today. All right, Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. That was a lot of offerings. Y'all remember how many clean animals were supposed to go on the ark? Anybody? Seven? Yep. And so he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl. Imagine having to catch all the birds and stuff. And offer burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, just food for thought, and I haven't read back through all these chapters to confirm this, but do you reckon that we know something that Noah never found out? Because God said in the scriptures right here that he said this in his heart. I don't find where he told Noah some of this stuff. Some of the instructions that we're about to read were given to Noah. And some of the things that are a part of this covenant were told to Noah. This one here just said the Lord said it in his heart. And so we find that he said that he would not curse the ground anymore or smite every living thing. So the curse that was put on it, he's not going to curse it any more than what it already was. And he's not going to smite every living thing again like this. All right. Seasons, days, nights will not cease. So now we have seasonal changes that will take place from this point forward. And that's not going to change. Days and nights will not cease. All right. God will not destroy the earth again by a flood. That's in Genesis 9:11. I'm not sure that's on your page there, but God's not going to destroy the earth again by a flood. That's in Genesis 9:11. And every time we see a rainbow, that is given as a token of God's covenant. I'm talking about a real rainbow, not a flag over somebody's house. What that sign is a sign of raining fire one day. But the rainbow that we see in the sky is a token. So whenever we see rain, the sun comes back out and that rainbow's up there, God put that there to tell man, I'm never going to destroy the earth with water ever again like this. And so that token has been stolen. Just about everything that's godly and that God intended for man to bless man and to encourage man, the world, the devil, has taken it for their own benefit and tried to twist it around. And so the rainbow is a token of God's covenant with Noah. Look at there in chapter 9, verse number 13. Chapter 8, chapter 9 is when God's dealing with these covenants, this covenant with man. All right, Genesis chapter 9, look verse number 13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token, for a covenant between me and the earth. All right, so God's not going to curse it anymore than what it already was. And then he's going to set this rainbow as a token. All right, now we're going to get into some of the instructions that he gave to Noah. And things that they were going to be responsible for. In verse number 1, chapter 9, And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. They were to fill it back up again. I mean, God destroyed everything. And so he started all over. He started at the very beginning with Adam. Then he created Eve. And now we're back to starting all over again with Noah and his sons. So he told them to fill the earth back up again. I mean, talk about starting all over. And that's exactly what God did. And what he realized was, and he created man, and he understood that man's thoughts were going to go the direction they did, the imaginations. And again, you might say, well, why did God do that? He wants man to choose him. That's what it's always been about. He wants man to choose him. And if you didn't have a free will to do that, then it wouldn't mean anything. But he gave man a free will. And he wants man to choose him. He wanted Adam and Eve to choose him over that tree. And after they partook of the tree, he wanted Adam and Eve and his children to choose God. We find the first murder back in the dispensation of conscience. And it was because one of them got filled with pride and said, I'm going to do it my way, not the way that God wants it done. And we find a pattern of that all through scriptures. So God tells them to multiply and replenish. Okay, he commands that they not eat blood. Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 4. All right, Genesis 9, 4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is in the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Okay, so they're commanded not to eat blood. Now, I'm going to take a small detour here and look at something. I think I have it on your notes there. But this partaking of the blood, eating blood, was forbidden before the law. We find that right here. This is before the law was ever given. Do not eat blood. Okay? During the law, it was also commanded not to eat blood. Look at Leviticus chapter 17 real quick. Hold your place in Genesis and look at Leviticus. I just want to show you that there's a few of these instructions that were given that go to mankind all throughout Scripture, even up to today. All right, Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 14. So we find that he told mankind, do not eat blood, that the life thereof, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood, thereof shall ye not eat. It'd probably be good if George Washington and some of those other people could have realized that the life that we have is through the blood. They used to bleed people to death. All right. And so he told this to man. And then when he called out Abraham, this is a later dispensation, he's going to tell God's people. And evidently he had to tell them this because there was people that was doing it. And so he had to tell God's people, the Jews here under the law, do not do this. All right, Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 14. For it is the life of all flesh. What is? The blood. Back up in verse 13. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel. Now, notice, and we're going to get to this later, he's not talking to all of mankind anymore. He's dealing with one nation, the nation of Israel, the people that he's called out to be his people. And he said, the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. That's pretty strict, right? That's what God told them. So before the law, they were forbidden to partake of blood. During the law, you say, well, what about after the law? I mean, we're under grace. Look what God says in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Now, we're not at a threat of being cut off, and I'm thankful for that. But look what God asks us as a church to do. Acts chapter 15 is the council in Jerusalem. They all get together, decide that everybody from this point forward is saved by grace through faith. There's some things that take place, a change, and we're going to look at all that later as we continue to go through our study. But look what he says here in verse number 19. Look what the Bible says. Acts chapter 15, verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from the pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. All right, so here after the law, they're still telling people, hey, you're still not supposed to partake of blood. God does not want his children to partake of blood. So it was before the law, during the law, and after the law. Now, after the law, you didn't see here that if you did it, you were going to be cut off. That's not there. He just said, I don't want you partaking of blood. And, you know, there is a lot of things that God asks his children. If you're saved and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you became a son of God. We all became a son of God. And we're saved by grace through faith, and we cannot lose it. And we'll look at some of that as we go through there. But there's still things that he asks as his children, just like he did the children of Israel. He said, don't do this and do this. And what he said, do not partake of blood. There's things throughout Paul's writings where Paul says, hey, as a child of God, God doesn't want you doing this. So there's still things that he asks of us not to do. But now, if you happen to do those things, you're not going to get cut off. And I'm thankful for that, because a lot of people would be getting cut off. If you still like your steak mooing when you cut it, God asks you not to do that, but, you know. I don't think you should go the other way either, though, where it's like burnt leather and have to cover it in ketchup to eat it. Don't eat blood. All right. So we find that all three of those are all three times, before the law, during the law, and after the law, he said don't eat blood. All right. Go back to Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 5. Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 5. Another thing we find is now we're under human government. We have the example of the garden. We've got the conscience. And now God is telling them to govern one another. So capital punishment is established during this covenant. Genesis chapter 9, and look with me in verse number 5. All right, Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And so we find that capital punishment is established right here. Now, just like the eating of blood, we find that capital punishment is before the law, during the law, and after the law. These are things that continue that God gave to man. Hold your place there again. Go to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35. God gave this to all of man. And then when he got the children of Israel and called them out, called out Abraham, he gave them some of these same instructions. But under the law, he gave them a whole lot of more instructions. But Numbers chapter 35. So again, up until this point, we have innocence. They get their conscience. Now God's asking them to govern one another. Keep each other accountable. And I'd like to say that we're going to get to this later, but in the tribulation, there's going to be an aspect of keeping each other accountable again, where you help your brother out, try to keep him from sin and keep him from messing up. Numbers chapter 35 and verse number 30. Numbers chapter 35 and verse number 30. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put in prison for 100 years. to eat up all the resources that we need for other things. All right? But God put a clause in here so that you can't just accuse somebody by the mouth of witnesses. That's more than one. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. So God established some rules here for this thing. All right? You say, well, what about the church age? We're living under grace. All right? There's a lot of states that are allowing murderers and rapists and all those kind of things to live under grace because they're not going to let them. I mean, some of those guys are living a really good life in prison. Romans chapter 13. All right, Romans chapter 13, look at verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So we're talking about human government way back here, and now we're in the church age, and God's still talking about human government. Right? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. You think criminals today are just scared to death for what they're doing? Absolutely not. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I don't see people trembling today over their sin. You see videos of people coming into courtrooms after they've slaughtered people or shot people or whatever, and they're laughing. They're not scared of nothing. And back in the Wild West days, I was telling somebody the other day, I kind of wish we were back in the Wild West days. But they would have somebody hanging in the street. And a teenager would come out and say, I'm going to change my ways. You know, and the police officers didn't even have to do it. If there was about five or six men that thought they did wrong, they would go get a rope and have a hanging. And I know it was kind of out of control, but the truth is, If they would publicly televise some of this stuff, executions, that people would think twice, right? That's what God told them to do. He wanted to use that to say, hey, this person killed somebody, now they have to die. And when we get into the law, we find out that if there were some rebellious kids that were talking back to their mom and dad, they were being stoned to death. I mean, the kid would think twice about talking back to mom and dad, about disrespecting mom and dad. Why? Because they brought him out and threw stones at him until he died. That's rough. But God established these things, and they were supposed to be meant to help us, to help each other say, I'm not going to do that. Now you've got people that are repeat offenders. When we were at camp, there was a man that came out every year, and he would set up, I think I've told this here, I don't know when it was, but he would come out and set up a skeet shoot for us. He was a game warden. And he said that the men he locked up 20 years ago, he's locking their kids up today. They don't ever learn nothing. But if the punishment, and he's to fit the crime, God, when we get to the law, we'll see the punishment was supposed to fit the crime. And there were some things that you might say, well, I don't think that's a big deal. Well, God did. And I'm not apologizing for God. God thought it was a big deal. And I don't fully understand all of it, but that I'm not God and I'm not meant to be. I'm just supposed to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, that's what you want. That's what pleases you. I'm okay with it. That's what he wants from us. Then there were some other things, and I'm like, that's pretty bad. And God was like, just do this. You know, whatever the Lord says. Right? So capital punishment. before, during, and after the law. The plan of salvation during this time, and I've got to hurry, I got 2 minutes, or less than 2 minutes. The plan of salvation during this time was, again, faith plus works. Up to this point, they got their conscience, they got the example of the garden, and now God's telling them to govern one another. So now God's dealing with these people is based off of what He told them to do with each other. Human government and the conscience that they still have that's guiding them. So if they die during this time, when they stand before God, that's what God's dealing with. And I understand that they don't go to heaven at this point. They're going to Abraham's bosom. We learn that later. But the people that died were standing in judgment of what they did with what they were with what God asked them to do. All right? And I hope this makes sense as we're going through here. All right? And I'm out of time. And so, and I'm not finished with this one. So, Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to be finishing up Family Revival. So, I'm not going to be teaching next Sunday. We're still having Sunday school, but we're going to do something a little bit different. But the following Sunday, Lord willing, I'm gonna finish up this one, and I want to look at what God told them to do for their salvation here, and what they were supposed to do to obey God. All right, now, yeah, I'll stop there. I could just keep going, but all right, let's. Does anybody have any questions or anything? All right, I pray this is helpful to some folks, and. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Carl, will you?